Welcome to the Keener13.com podcast for Halloween night 2004. I'm Scott Westerman from Keener13.com. Greetings from Bettendorf, Iowa. It's been a wet, rainy week. I've been in the middle of budgets at work and am still fighting an October cold or allergies or something. Colleen has me convinced to go see the doc tomorrow, so maybe we'll get some drugs to knock this stuff out. Recording last week's podcast was an adventure. I had to stop every minute or so to hack away, so thank goodness for Adobe Audition and that wonderful cut and paste functionality. Those of us Keener fans celebrate Halloween in a special way because it was on that night back in 1963 that WKNR was born. On this edition of the Keener13.com podcast, we celebrate the 41st anniversary with a replay of our WKNR documentary from the 2003 Woodward Dream Cruise broadcast. For 2 years, the Clear Channel people gave us control of the old WKNR facility each August for the weekend of the Dream Cruise. If you've never been to this event, it's a huge weekend of classic cars and a million or so gawkers who line the sidewalks of Detroit's Woodward Avenue. In the 60s, everybody cruised with WKNR, and since Keener13.com was the largest compendium of Keener memories, it made sense to have us produce WKNR's return to Detroit. It was great fun, especially since we were able to bring back so many of the great WKNR announcers. We did the show in 2002 and 2003, but this year my partner Steve Schramm and I were both back in the corporate world and we didn't have the time to do it right. More on the documentary in a bit, but first some feedback on the first Keener podcast. Thanks very much for your email to curator@keener13.com. That's curator, C-U-R-A-T-O-R, at keener13.com. It's great to hear how much people enjoyed our first foray into the realm of podcasting. And for those of you with the iPodder podcast aggregator, there is a special RSS link at the bottom left of the Keener13.com homepage that you can plug into iPodder to get the latest Keener podcast as they happen. I'm also eager to get your suggestions on what kind of programs you'd like to hear from Keener13.com. People are asking about interviews with the surviving WKNR jocks, and one of you suggested that we play back audio Keener memories. Now, that idea really appeals to me. If you have the ability to record MP3 files, send me something you remember about the Keener era. It could be a WKNR memory or anything about the Detroit area popular culture or music in the 1960s. There's a lot of it around then. Johnny Ginger, Rita Bell, Bill Kennedy, Milky the Clown, Twin Pines, the Detroit Zoo, Bob Lowe, and Edgewater Park. Jog your brains and send us your recorded Keener memories. A couple of Keener13.com program notes. I missed the anniversary of the WKNR FM Paul is Dead broadcast earlier this month. Things had been crazy at work, and I didn't have time to work up some stuff for the site, but I do have some terrific new content, which I hope to post soon. Now, you may remember that after Russ Gibb broadcast that famous interview with EMU student Tom Zarsky, Russ, Paul Cannon, and U of M student Fred LeBoer were invited to L.A. for a weird television special hosted by attorney F. Lee Bailey. It was recorded for the RKO television stations, and all of the kinescopes mysteriously disappeared after the one run of the show in November of 1969. Well, my friend Andrew Reeve is the quintessential Paul is Dead researcher. He wrote a great book several years back called Turn Me On, Dead Man, The Complete Story of the Paul McCartney Death Hoax. Andrew recently re-released and updated and expanded his version of the book with a bunch of new information, including some stuff we contributed from Keener13.com. Well, Andrew got his hands on an audio recording of the RKO TV program and sent us a CD. I'll be posting tracks from that disc on the site when I can find some time to catch up. Again, grab this new book, Andrew Reeve. He spells his name A-N-D-R-U-R-E-E-V-E. If you Google that, you will be able to find the book Turn Me On, Dead Man, The Complete Story of the Paul McCartney Death Hoax, and order a copy. It's available from a self-publishing publisher that he uses, and it's a terrific story. Something for every Keener fan and every Beatles fan. Now, coming up on November 22nd, some great Kennedy assassination stuff from Keener. In 1964, WKNR broadcast a documentary on the shooting featuring the actual news bulletin and an hour of interviews and recollections. Jim Donahue, who is a WKNR fan from the Detroit area, happened to make a dub of that show and recently discovered the reel-to-reel tape. He sent us a pristine copy, and we'll be posting that on the 40th anniversary of the broadcast, November 22nd of this year. Look for this as part of future Keener13.com podcasts. This whole podcast phenomenon is amazing, one of the true testaments to the viral nature of the internet. I heard about it from Buzz Brueggemann, a software guy who came up with this cool Active Words application. If you haven't tried Active Words, check out his website at www.activewords.com. The program lets you use keywords to launch your applications, and for anybody like me who's always multitasking, it's a must-have. Well, anyway, Buzz was saying that he was going to podcast some Active Words training sessions. And I had no idea what he was talking about, so I Googled the term and immediately found a link to Adam Curry's site and the iPodder application. iPodder is an app that manages your podcast feeds and automatically downloads updated programs to your hard drive for synchronization with your iPod or PDA. Now, I don't have an iPod, but I do have an iPack with a 512 meg expansion card. I dumped my Palm Tungsten C for the iPack because it has the Windows Media Player and can grab web content via the Wi-Fi connection. The battery's pretty good, and I can plug the earphone jack into a cassette adapter and listen to stuff during my commute. Well, I began to download podcasts, and that's about all I listen to in the car anymore. Adam Curry does a podcast called The Daily Source Code, which is terrific, and there are a ton of good, bad, and ugly podcasts out there that are pretty easy to find if you visit Adam's www.ipodder.org website. The idea is only a couple of months old, and there are already more applications and content popping up there every day. Now, back to our podcast feature, the WKNR story. This is something I produced last year from the Woodward Dream Cruise broadcast. The original plan was for us to program this station from Friday night at 6 p.m. through Saturday at midnight. But history intervened. That Friday afternoon, somewhere in Ohio, some power lines got a little too hot, and that set off the Great Northeast Blackout of 2003. Almost nobody in the Midwest had electricity, including most of Detroit. The WXDX transmitter site on I-94 at Telegraph Road did not have a backup generator, so we lost all of our Friday night programming. My friend Bob Berry, who was working afternoons at Cool 100.3 FM in Orlando, had some great interviews with Scott Morgan of the Rationals, Peter Noon of the Herman's Hermits, and others, and none of that got on the air. In fact, it was exactly 13 minutes before our noon start on Saturday when the power came back on at 94 and Telegraph. So the Saturday program went off without a hitch, but many parts of Detroit were still without power, so nobody knew for sure how many people could hear us. It was a great broadcast. We had Bob Green, Pat St. John, Michael Stevens, and Scott Regan. Plus, I took some of our air checks and recreated shows from J. Michael Wilson, Ted Clark, and others. We also reserved the 11 p.m. hour to tell the WKNR story from beginning to end. Now, what you're about to hear is not the full broadcast. Since this is a podcast, we can't play the full records without raising the ire of the RIAA. So you're hearing a scoped version of the show. It runs 35:16, and here it is.
Now, WXDX, Dearborn, Detroit, brings back Keener 13 with another hour of
Motor City Music.
And now, as we come to the final hour of the 2003 Woodward Dream Cruise, let's take a few minutes to tell the WKNR story from beginning to end. This facility began its life in 1946 as WKMH. Back then, Detroit radio was populated with full-service stations that featured a lot of news and information and a wide variety of music. WKMH was launched by Fred and Nellie Knorr of the Knorr Broadcasting family. And by 1963, WKMH sounded very much like most of the other Detroit radio stations. Fred Knorr and John Fetzer owned the Detroit Tigers, and WKMH was the flagship for Ernie Harwell, George Kell, and the Detroit Tiger Radio Network. Every hour started with mutual news, and the station broadcast syndicated comedy from Bob and Ray, Van Patrick's sports reports, features targeted to housewives, and in between the long-form programming, there was some music, and it sounded like this.
And that's Sports Flash.
Get the wonderful KMH report from WKMH Sports Flash.
Coming to the Gay Haven Friday night. The great sound of Johnny Gibson. That's right. Johnny Gibson and his band appearing at the Gay Haven on Warren, just east of Greenfield. All Stag Girls admitted absolutely free. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, dancing in the Key Room. Friday and Saturday night, dancing in the Big Main Room at the Gay Haven.
Okay, that's tonight. Remember, Johnny Gibson, right out there at the Gay Haven tonight.
It's a Detroitland weekend.
Will the skies be blue?
So here's our weekend weather report from our radar
weather scope to you. Wow, partly cloudy tonight.
Predicted low for tonight, down here 40 degrees, partly cloudy and mild. Tomorrow night, when I'm going to be out at the Daily Drive-In on Telegraph, just south of Michigan, for the whole night tomorrow night. And the high tomorrow, there's 60. The winds are out of the west. No, the northwest at 8. Humidity is 68%. The present temperature, 48 degrees. Sangu! Sangu! I'll tell you. All right, wait.
Here's the WKMH flashback.
Flashback! Flashback! Flashback!
It was 1900.
See, it was 1900. And, wait.
This was the hit.
It was 1900 and S107.
Dave Prince, as recorded on WKMH in April of 1962. Bob Green was another WKMH personality, and he remembers what it was like in those days.
At that time, WKMH was floundering around with about 10 different formats. And nothing was particularly successful, and there were problems. And I was getting kind of itchy, and I had a call from a fellow in Miami, Florida, who heard a tape of me and said he was interested in talking with me, and it ended up being WQAM, which is the big station in all of the state of Florida. Good opportunity, and I took it. In the mid of 63, I was informed by people that I had come to know in Detroit 2 years before that WKMH was going to change to WKNR, and they were going to really do it to this market. And I wasn't about to believe that because I had been through some pretty bad days in 1961, and of course I knew that there were rockers in this market. WXYZ was a top 40 station. CKLW was sort of a half and half top 40. WJBK was top 40 station. And wow, how many top 40s can this market take? Well, in 1963, I realized at that time that they had the right thing in mind.
Perhaps more than any other person, Frank Maruca is responsible for turning WKMH into WKNR. He tells us about some of the promotional push that preceded Keener's launch.
When we went into WKNR, kicked off the new sound, so to speak, we committed about $130,000 to promotion, newspaper ads, I think there were some television spots, a music guide, which I don't think this town had ever seen before. We printed 50,000 copies a week, distributed through the record stores. We had posters, 200,000 bumper stickers, and so on. We did a teaser campaign for about 8 or 10 days prior to the actual kickoff of the sound, a teaser campaign in the newspapers, then followed with a series of full-page ads to let everybody know what we were doing. One of the keys to a radio station is, of course, to build the ratings as quickly as possible, because when you change formats, it's like going back to zero and starting all over again.
This song has really got the drive. It's coming alive on WKNR, Keener 13.
So I came back from Miami in October of 1963, and along with people like Gary Stevens and Mort Crowley was there at the time, Robin Seymour was a holdover from WKMH, we put together a sound which just plain took off.
Some WKNR trivia. Louie Louie from the Kingsmen, number one on the first Keener Music Guide.
Keener plays the music, we've got hits for you. Keener plays the music, and much more of it too. You're having fun where the action's sure to be. WKNR, Keener 13.
WKNR, music power.
Former Keener 13 program director, Bob Green.
Before computers, before 60 songs in a row, before liners and before radio was unerringly predictable, there was 60s style top 40 radio. Formats conceived by radio people who, within a framework of intelligent flexibility, created boundaries that still left room for spontaneity.
The sounds of the trash man on our survey tonight, rated number 6, the surfing.
Oh, really? I'm sorry to hear that. The surfing bird.
Professionals were allowed to make a few mistakes.
Well, I blew that one again. Teach me to read these things.
And hit a bunch of dynamite home runs.
You did it!
Yeah!
I don't know who's more excited, me or you.
The safe, minimalist, scientific dictates of most of today's programmers ensure there'll be no mistakes, and subsequently, no home runs either. There was no better example of a 60s radio success story than Detroit's WKNR, Keener 13.
WKNR,
WKNR,
makes the weekend sing.
The 29 shares Keener enjoyed were the result of a staff of talented pros who knew through both research and intuition what was right for the room. Top 40, like radio in general, was and always has been a copycat business. Stations in New York, Chicago, Detroit, Walla Walla, they all did their best to sound alike.
Wonderful WQAM, 77 WABC.
WXYZ 68 St. Thomas
CHLO. The top 40 DJ style du jour was almost universally the puke, a forced style of hip frenzy that sounded amazingly like the process of regurgitating one's pepperoni before the vocal in the next song began. But there were no pukers at WKNR. Keener had some unique qualities in both its personalities and its overall station sound. Excitement reigned, and so too did appropriate shouting, laughing, storytelling, whispering, and whimsy. The creative bottom line was that by design, we didn't take ourselves too seriously. This can be confirmed by hearing the 24-hour cartoon that was Keener 13.
This is WKNR, Keener 13. No other radio station can make that statement.
Exactly 5 minutes delay, WKNR time. Anton, hop out of those Farmington haylofts. Let's get up and at him here. And the Purton Show. I've been a little concerned lately since a week ago tonight, actually, when I got in that fight that I may have mentioned once or twice, that I really took on Wayne Walker, and unfortunately I got carried away and did a little bodily damage to him. But anyway, down I was down at the ice at Olympia, and my back has been hurting ever since. But it just dawned on me, they put some new ultra-modern furniture in my office, and for 2 weeks I've been sitting in the wastebasket.
It's happened again!
Oh, I didn't believe myself. In fact, it's unbelievable.
We have another winner!
Oh, I didn't believe myself. In fact, it's unbelievable. My name is Louis Markowitz of Detroit. I am 75 years old, and I am a great-grandfather. Also, a $208 winner in WKNR Keener Cash Game.
And how do you feel now, Mr. Markowitz?
Shocked.
The concert. Keener was there.
Right now, WKNR's Bob Green about to introduce to this mob here at Olympia Stadium the Beatles. Particularly quiet at the moment, it has not been throughout this afternoon, and won't be starting in about 20 seconds from now. A cordon of Detroit's police lining the aisle here to bring the Beatles from their dressing room in back of Olympia. Bob attempted to get the crowd started down. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles are at Olympia!
The Beatles in Detroit, a WKNR exclusive. Interviews backstage with the Fab Four and highlights from the Detroit performances. Monday at 6 and 10 p.m. only on Keener 13. Oh, yeah, and if anyone else says they talk to the Beatles...
Rubbish.
They've got nothing else to do, then, fellas.
Windsor southwest at 11, humidity 63, metro 24, city 23, and Willow Run 21.
And I'm 21 and available, so fellas, if you'd like to date me...
Melissa!
Just call...
Melissa!
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't ever do that again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't
great
ever
movie.
Do that again.
Great single recording. And now, a great new album.
Hey, T
ABC.
Yeah, but
hey, you're going kind of fast down the street, man. Where are you going anyway?
Well, I'm going to my record dealer. Record dealer, here I come.
I get the picture. I see what you're doing. Yeah, well, you're going to your record dealer to buy that great album.
That's right,
oh, yeah.
They
got the Keener Golden Goodies album. We're gonna get us one.
You said it, Teddy. Yeah.
Get ready, Motor City. As the stars of Motown visit the Scott Regan Show.
Do you have your harmonica?
Yeah.
All right. Now, what are you going to teach me?
First of all, we got to get the key. See, let's see that. Same.
W-K-N-R. Keener 13.
Oh, he's got it.
Stevie Wonder returns to Keener 13, and you'll be able to call and talk to Stevie tonight at 8. Part of the reason WKNR is
the Detroit Sound. WKNR. Keener 13.
If there's one thing that makes WKNR the most listened to station in Detroit, it's
the
music.
No,
it's the
content.
The DJ.
Oh, it's the content.
The DJ.
This is Mrs. Irene Starkey, and I have just won $316 in a Keener Lucky License game. It pays to listen to Keener.
Well, I'm glad you're so happy about it, Miss Starkey. I hope that it was not too much of a shock to you.
This is shock, my gosh.
Yeah, shock.
Oh, I didn't even know what I was doing.
Keener 13.
The WKNR format included the time-worn philosophy of predictability and achieved expectations. But in Keener's case, part of the excitement was that the expectations included occasional unpredictability.
They said it couldn't be done. Couldn't be done. Couldn't be done.
Hi, everyone. This is Rudy Ways again. I just won for the second time in the WKNR Lucky Matchbook Game Contest. This time, I won $102. It really pays to listen to Keener 13 WKNR.
Yes, Rudy Ways, it does pay to listen to WKNR. You know, you have won twice. Now take your money, Rudy Ways, and get out.
Keener 13.
WKNR, AM, FM, Dearborn. Offices in the Sheridan Cadillac, Detroit.
Thank you.
Let me get this little thing together over here.
WKNR.
Can't stand it.
Dearborn is together.
Now, WKNR Dearborn presents another hour of
Motor City Music.
You're listening to our special Keener Gold Weekend, celebrating the Woodward Dream Cruise. I'm Scott Westerman from Keener13.com. The key to any radio station's success starts with what we call morning drive. And when Keener launched, the late Mort Crowley was in the driver's seat.
It was perhaps one of the wildest markets outside of Denver in 57, 58, that I've ever been in. It was up and at 'em, get out of bed in the morning, and go for that red meat every day.
Let's go!
Now, here's Hitline song number 3.
I foxed you. No, it isn't. It's number 1.
That's a big number 5 song. From our Keener Music Guide on the Mortimer Crowley Mortecular Sunday Show. That's the number 4 song from our Keener Music Guy, the Nitty Gritty Ride there. Here's Crowley and Company. Good morning, you.
Highly competitive, highly spirited. Tensions, of course, were very high. But personal drive, personal ambition was very, very, very high. A lot of esprit de corps in the radio station, and that's why I think they went so far with the people they had.
Mort Crowley, who went on to even greater success in St. Louis. Keener program director Frank Maruca remembers Mort's exit from the station.
As the station became immensely popular, we began to have tremendous problems with the telephone company because we just didn't have the facilities, and neither did the phone company have the facilities to handle the volume of phone calls we were getting. And Mort was doing a thing with factory workers on his morning show, and we finally had to say, Mort, you can't do it because the phone company is going to take all our telephones out if we don't quit blocking all our exchanges. So one morning, Mort goes on the air and accuses the phone company of being a monopoly and throws in the gas and electric companies for good measure and so forth and resigns on the air.
That's Tony Clark. 18 minutes before 8 o'clock in the morning, we are reduced to one phone line today because they have frightened all of our executives into a state of non-compos mentis, and we have memos by the galore. We have, only one phone line can be used. Luzon 24481, because the phone company, in its tremendous magnificence, in its great surge of power, has threatened to turn off of our, take the phones out, see? Because we're jamming the lines. I think it's a crying shame that a utility can do that.
WKNR, Peter!
Well, now we have, I hope, Frank, you do not think that I flipped my wig there. Mr. Kinsman is looking at me, and he has sort of a leprechaun smile on his face there. Well, it probably will be the next news item tomorrow morning. You don't work on weekends, do you? Frank doesn't work on weekends, so I'll say goodbye to you now, see? And the rest of the people I'll say goodbye to at 9 o'clock this morning.
Solid music!
WKNR's first morning man, Mort Crowley, in his final minutes on the air. And as we continue this Keener history lesson, our focus on the WKNR morning men continues with a man named Paul, who came to Keener from Cincinnati and became a Detroit radio morning institution.
WKNR, Keener 13.
You're listening to a history of WKNR, presented by Clear Channel and WXDX. I'm Scott Westerman from Keener13.com. And for nearly four decades, Dick Purton's special brand of entertainment has been a part of our morning ritual in Detroit. But in 1965, Dick was the new guy on the block, and he started his Motor City adventures at Keener.
When I was first contacted by WKNR, I was down at WSAI at the time, Cincinnati, Ohio. I'd been there for 3.5 years. And when I was first contacted, I should say I made the initial contact when Gary Stevens went to leave. Now, I knew Gary, and I called him. I said, hey, Gary, I want out of this place because SAI was going down the drain fast. And he said, call Frank Maruca, which I did. And Frank then offered me the afternoon show, 3 to 7, replacing Gary Stevens. Now, in the interview, Frank and old Jerry Goodwin and a bunch of people, Bob Green, all the guys that popped in Frank's office that day, I'd flown up, spent 2 hours telling me how great Gary was. I mean, they went into, many, many details about it, and I knew Gary was great. And I got so upset hearing how great Gary was that I thought, no way can I step into Gary's shoes. And so when Frank finally asked the question, well, Dick, do you think you can do it? I said, no. That's a true story, honestly. It really is.
Oh, I just love your aftershave lotion, sir.
How about a kiss, baby?
But I just can't stand your face.
That's pretty good, huh?
Here's a guy that's really got to try.
Bob, after that, I'm ashamed of saying my name.
Number 13.
And I think Frank was somewhat taken aback by that, and I flew back to town that night. Frank called me a couple days later and said, we've changed the shift 7 to 10 at night. Would you want to do that? And I said, yes, I would try. Then he called back a couple days later and said that they had hired Scott Regan from Kansas City, who was known at the time as Rock Robbins at WHB in Kansas City. Now, I had known of Scott, and I said, well, that's a good move. He's a great jock.
A last chance to turn around. That's Gene Pitney here in the Scott Regan Show for a Monday night. I've just figured out right here that if I save for the next 20 years at the rate I've been saving for the past 6 months, I can retire at the age of 60 and owe $100,000.
He took the 7 to 10, then he said, would you be interested in doing 10 to 1? So I had moved from drive time back to 10 to 1, in about 4 days. I said yes.
WKNR, AM, FM, Dearborn, offices in the Sheridan Cadillac, Detroit.
Thank you. Somebody at the door, maybe it's Tom. Come in, Tom.
Guess what?
Oh.
I just heard someone call you a silly goose.
Oh, it was Jim Martin instead. All right, what'd you do? Did you move this box? Just a moment, folks. Just a moment. Did you do this, Ryan? It's supposed to start a record at the beginning. That's why they have beginning grooves on it, man. And speaking of grooves, is this a groovy tune?
After I was in the station about 2 months, they told me they were going to move me to mornings, which I had done for quite a few years anyway. And I was going to replace Swingin' Sweeney. Now, Frank was going to be promoted to assistant program director and music director. Well, one August 7th, 1965, on a Saturday morning, he showed up late for work, which was, you know, very often the case. Frank had a real sleeping problem. He was an insomniac and could not sleep at night, and yet he had to get up every morning, except, I believe, well, no, I guess in those days it was Saturday, too, at 4 a.m. to be in at 5. Well, Frank showed up one morning at 7, come to think of it, and Jerry Goodwin, for some reason, had been doing the all-night show, sitting in for Jim Jeffries, I think it was, who had Wuzzy O or something, and Jerry and Frank got into a real shouting match in the control room, and a fracas evolved out of this thing, and it turned out that Frank got fired. Frank Sweeney, Swingin' Sweeney. So I went on the morning show the next Monday, August 9, 65, rather than 2 weeks after that, what I was supposed to. And from then on, I've been on the morning, except for the fact when I came back to WXYZ from Baltimore, when I came in the afternoons.
For WKNR News, Ed Mullen reporting. Here's more music with Dick Burton.
There it is, happy together, all right. It's exactly 5 minutes delay, WKNR time. That's for, I just saw this thing, and I had no idea, but, you know, Robin got divorced. Burt Ward, you know, the actor who plays Robin in Batman, the TV there. And I watched that last night, too. I noticed he's changed the color of his trousers, too. They used to be yellow, and now I think they're white. And I was wondering, there must be a reason for that, but that I couldn't figure out what it was. But it says here, this crossed the wire last night, and Scott Regan left this for me, that he was divorced yesterday by his wife, Bonnie Lou, on grounds of mental cruelty. 20-year-old Mrs. Ward testified in Superior Court in Los Angeles, and she told the judge he was inattentive, compared me with other women, and told me he was sorry he married me. He called me an old bat, man. I just threw that in, just for laughs, you know. And let's see, she gets $1,400 a month minimum against 40% of Ward's gross income plus half of his birdseed.
WKNR, AM and FM, Dearborn, offices in the Sheridan Cadillac, Detroit.
Let's live it up with Dick Curtin.
On WKNR, Keener 13.
Hi there, folks. How are you tonight? What's the matter, Jim? King Jim Martin is here, and we're all set and raring to go with the exciting Dick Curtin show between now and 1 o'clock in the morning with all the groovy tunes that I know you folks out there in Radio Land listen to or like to listen to. This is part of the holiday. Very glum tonight because of the many accidents, of course. I passed one on the one of the expressways coming up here, and I got to thinking again. It looks as though we're going to have to continue with our Keener Top 13 Hitline Accidents of the weekend. We got up to 5 last night. I was hoping there would be no more to put on the air tonight, but it looks as though we will have some, and we'll have those reports coming in shortly. Right now, it's 5 minutes after 10 o'clock.
If you've got a complexion that needs correction...
And see, I come on right away again, and all the pimple commercials come on the radio as we swing along and sing a song between now and the hour of 1 o'clock in the morning. This is more like a Sunday than a Monday. This is very hard for me to get going. I was, to tell you the truth, I was asleep on the couch, and I just at the last minute I was watching Wendy and Mia. That's a very funny show. She had a lot of funny lines that I wrote down, and we'll be using them all tonight in case you missed that show. The first one coming up about a light bulb very shortly. All right, just a little here. 6:10. No, no, it's 10:06.
I can't stand.
Just a little there with Bob Rumbles here on the Dick Curtin Show of WKNR, Keener 13, and all that blah, blah, blah. 10:08 WKNR time. More music more often and all that stuff. Let's see, we have a new forecast in. Detroit area weather forecast, it says. Temperature is 67. Oh, wait a minute, how could it be? How could this be new if the thing up on the walls is 60? Well, once again, I see that the news department has completely followed up. And although Jim Martin claimed this is the new forecast, this probably cleared the wire at 7:45. As a matter of fact, 7 p.m. temperature he just brought in. Oh, excuse me. I'm reading the wrong one. I'm so sorry. This one's at 10 p.m. Jim, my humble apologies to you, sir. Temperature is indeed 60. Wind east-northeast at 6. Let's see. The weather eye, well, I can't read it. We'll go in a moment. Let's go! Now,
on WKNR. Here's another Keener Lucky License Number. Beep, beep. That's right, here's the Lucky License Number now. The Lucky License Number is... where is it? MK, as in, let's see, Mike... no, not Michelle Kaplan. Michelle, I used to go with her. 5878, it's MK5878. If that is your lucky license, if that is your lucky license number, it's a lucky one if you call Keener at, let me see here, TI65666. Ow! Ow! Ooh! Ow! That was a thumbtack. It just fell down off the thing I got the telephone number on, and I hurt my pinky. No, I didn't either. Your pinky's your little one. It's my thumb. MK5878 is the number, and if that is your call, Keener, at TI65666 in 13 minutes, and you win $116. Now, on Keener 13, here's another Keener Lucky License Number.
Sir?
Yes, I just believe I've given them all that. Must be the Burton Show. Yes, it is. Hey, it's 10-11. Here's Barbara Mason of my favorite record called Yes, I'm Ready. Yes, I'm Ready.
Dick Burton on WKNR. There's more of our Keener history coming up, so stay tuned.
WKNR.
By March of 1967, Keener was printing money and becoming vulnerable. Bloated with 18 minutes of commercials per hour, listeners were almost as likely to tune into a stop set as they were to hear the music and personality mix that had been WKNR's secret to success. Meanwhile, across the Detroit River in Windsor, Paul Drew had joined CKLW. Under the guidance of Bill Drake, Drew copied the Drake formula that had turned around Los Angeles's KHJ, and the Motor City took notice.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Edwards,
CKLW, the Motor City.
12 o'clock at the Big Eight. Hello. Dearly beloved, we're gathered together on this auspicious occasion to get it on!
Nothing but a heartache from the Flirtations, as heard on the Jim Edwards Show on CKLW. By 1970, the Big Eight was the dominant rock station in the Motor City, and Keener was in the home stretch.
I'm not in love. Brothers and sisters, this is Tom Jones with his big voice and his tight pants. 4:56 on WKNR with Dan Henderson. Cloudy tonight, low 45. Partly sunny tomorrow, high of 70. Detroit temperature 55 now at WKNR.
WKNR.
At 298-4777, your Keener Motor City hit line is open. For Centerline and Pleasant Ridge, this is Brad.
That was Dan Henderson on Keener in April of 1971. On the FM side of the dial, WKNR had tried a groundbreaking underground format. And in October of 1969, FM DJ Russ Gibb was one of the first to broadcast the strange rumor that Paul McCartney was dead.
Someone got it to play in this Revolution Number 9 backwards.
Yeah.
And did you hear about that?
No.
Well, Revolution Number 9 is supposed to be...
The McCartney story was headline news on both WKNR-FM and Keener 13. But by 1972, Keener's deficient nighttime signal and the power of FM radio turned listeners away. For a time, WKNR-FM tried a high-class, easy-listening format, coining the term Stereo Island.
From the album 2 years on, the Bee Gees on Stereo Island, Alone Again. We heard B.J. Thomas, I Just Can't Help Believing. The Holly Ridge Strings, You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. And Brenda and the Tabulations, It Was Right on the Tip of My Tongue. This is Dave Mitchell with Joe South, and he's on The Other Side of Life.
Keener's days were numbered. The company was sold, and the new owners decided that WKNR-FM would compete with WLDM for the beautiful music audience, shadowcasting the format on the AM dial. It was announced that WKNR would become WNIC. Dutiful jocks like Robin Stone and John McRae carried the Keener mantle until the morning of April 25th, 1972.
This is John McRae, and I'd like to take it upon myself to speak on behalf of all the people who've made Keener what it was and is. You know, Pete Seeger, with a little help from his cosmic friend, wrote it much better than I could, and the birds sing it much better than I could ever say it. at this time, Detroit, we'd like to thank you for making nearly a decade a Keener season.
I'm Scott Westerman from Keener13.com, and we're into the home stretch on the 2003 iteration of the Keener Dream Cruise Weekend. By the time John McCrae uttered the call letters for the last time, Keener was a shadow of its former self. AM radio was on its way to becoming an anachronism, and the seeds of today's radio culture were firmly planted across the broadcast landscape. People who didn't grow up in Detroit during the 60s often ask why we make such a fuss over a 5,000-watt AM station that couldn't even cover the entire market. In the eight-decade history of American broadcasting, Keener's story was almost a footnote. It was over too soon, and those who were there quickly scattered to the four winds, itinerant artists plying their trade wherever someone would pay for the paint. Well, you had to be there. You had to be there to understand how Dick Purton could grab laughs without using any of George Carlin's seven words. You had to be there to feel the connection that Scott Regan made with the rock stars who are regular visitors to his program. You had to be there to experience the creative artistry that happened whenever Bob Green went into the production room, to hear Mort Crowley jam the phone exchange for the first time in Michigan Bell's history, to keep dialing until you could testify on the air what your love had done for you, to understand how something called a woolly burger could stop office conversations in mid-sentence, to watch Paul Cannon wade through hundreds of thousands of entries in Keener's Principal of the Year contest. And you had to be there to feel what it was like to hear rock and roll being born out of rhythm and blues, country and western, and the British skiffle sound. Others may have done it later, but in Detroit, WKNR was the first station to lock into the audience every hour of the day. They did it without the shock schlock that has become commonplace today. They did it with the intelligent flexibility that made it possible to instantly react to the competition, even if it meant breaking an occasional format rule. They did it by taking a chance on music made in Michigan. And they did it consistently until the weight of Keener's success smothered the Golden Goose, opening the door for a Canadian station to lead the pack. Keener's unique relationship with her audience set the standard that hundreds of other stations emulated, and her talent became mentors for every radio wannabe who ever put a razor blade to Mylar in the hope of landing that major market shot. A while back, I asked Keener13.com visitors to name one station today that comes close to being as innovative, as fun, and as consistently excellent as WKNR was in her prime. Over 10,000 of you pondered that question, and the silence was deafening. If we're lucky, we are occasionally blessed with moments when the stars align, our lives seem to be under momentary control, and we experience an instant of sheer joy. Those of us who came of age during WKNR's prime probably felt a few of those moments when the radio was on, and an unlikely little station in Dearborn was working her magic. And for that, we are eternally grateful. And there you have it, the WKNR story, a program we produced for the 2003 Woodward Dream Cruise in celebration of Keener 13's birthday, Halloween night 1963. You've been listening to the Keener13.com podcast. The jingles we play are used with permission of Jam Creative Productions in Dallas. Visit them at jingles.com. And if you're a jingle fan, you can find just about every radio jingle ever recorded available on CD at www.kenr.com. Our thanks to Keener fans everywhere for keeping the WKNR dream alive. For air checks anytime, WKNR music guides, and everything Keener, visit us on the web at www.keener13, that's K-E-E-N-E-R-1-3.com. If you have air checks, Keener memories, questions, or feedback on the site or on this podcast, write to me, Scott Westerman, via email to curator@keener13.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.